If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Deuteronomy this morning. Chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32. I'll talk to you today about iron shoes. Or we could call it standing on the border of a new year. And we are on the border of a new year. And we're going to look at what we can do to be prepared for the coming year. So I thought I'd end the year with a message on looking into the new year, and then next week bring a message on get ready, get set, get go, or go into the new year. And then after that, we'll have Mike Buckley with us here for a Sunday. You remember Mike, and he was a blessing last time he came, and looking forward to hearing him preach and share his ministry again. And then following that, we're going to get back into the book of Zechariah. So Deuteronomy chapter 32, beginning with verse 45. Deuteronomy 32, beginning with verse 45. And Moses made an end of speaking all these words to all Israel. And he said unto them, set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which ye shall command your children to observe to do, all the works of this law. For it is not a vain thing for you, because it is your life. And through this thing ye shall prolong your days in the land, whither ye go over Jordan to possess it. And then over one chapter to chapter 33, chapter 33 and verse 25. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. And may the Lord add his blessing to his word this morning. Before Israel crossed over Jordan and they took the land of Canaan under Joshua, Moses, he's now 120 years old, but he still has keen eyes and a strong mind and body. But what he does is he prepares the people for the struggles of war and life with God and living life with others once the land was won. He did this with mighty messages of instruction and encouragement found in Numbers chapters 26 through Deuteronomy chapter 34. And he did this on the plains of Moab east of Jordan on Canaan's border. Now before we cross over into another year, I want to prepare us for the struggles of spiritual battles. Spiritual wars that we will face undoubtedly next year. How we're going to live life with God's leading, and how we live life with others. And I want to do that this morning with a message of instruction and encouragement. And I want to do this as we're standing on the border of a new year, as we're looking into the future, a new year that begins this next week. And remember that the people that Moses had were a new generation. The old generation had perished in the wilderness, and Moses, the grand old warrior in the army of God, called this new generation. He says, look, guys, you have to choose. You're going to have to make some choices. Remember, your forefathers made a bad choice. They wouldn't go in and take the land, and they wandered, and they died as a result of that. And he says, now you're going to have to choose. And I've set before you life and death. I've set before you blessing and cursing. You choose which one you're going to have. Are you going to have the blessings that come by faith and obedience, or the curses that come because of disobedience and unbelief? The question for us is whether or not we will live for God and how we will do it. You know, like Israel, let's be honest. We don't know what the new land holds. We don't know what the new year holds. There could be sorrow. There's definitely going to be temptations. There's going to be temptation to sin. Our Canaanite neighbors will try and pull us down. Our evil nature will entice us to go with them. We face the enemies. We face the world. We face the flesh. We face the devil and his minions as well. So how do we prepare ourselves for that which lie ahead? You know, it's interesting that the book of Deuteronomy is primarily a book of sermons by Moses. And he is a great preacher. I love to read through the book of Deuteronomy. And it makes me feel good because it was Jesus' favorite Old Testament book. Did you know that? Here's a trivia question for you. The book that Jesus quoted from the Old Testament the most is the book of Deuteronomy. So what is a sermon anyway? It's a message from the Word of God that instructs us in knowing the will of God and encourages us to do it. William Barclay says a good sermon gives us something to know, something to feel, and something to do. Something to know, something to feel, and something to do. And if our Lord drew knowledge and passion and power from the well of Moses, how much more shall we? So I would encourage you this year to sometime read through the book of Deuteronomy and look for things that you should know, and look for how you should feel, and make it very practical and look for things that you can do. But listen to Moses at the close of his life. He says, "Take to heart all the words I have solemnly declared to you. They are not just idle words. They are your life." Now you put that, you can't put that any stronger. Moses saying, the words that I'm speaking to you, they're just not idle words. I'm not just filling up my vocabulary. I am speaking to you words that are your very life. And to get us properly oriented, I want to look at a foundational principle that's found at the end of this book. In chapter 33, Moses, before he died, he blessed the 12 tribes just as Jacob did in Genesis 49. And he had blessed his 12 sons before he died. And in the blessing of the 12th tribe, Asher, Moses says something we all need to hear about as God gives us the assignment for the next year. Here's what he says: "As your days are, so will your strength be." What a great promise to claim. As long as we live, we will have strength. We will have God's strength. Now, the only way to take Canaan, our warfare, the only way to live in Canaan, that is our daily walk. It is our spiritual walk. The only way to conquer and the only way to walk in that victory that comes through conquering is one day at a time. This is key. We live life one day at a time. We're already looking into the next year, but don't look at next year as a year. You look at it as living life one day at a time, because God promises that He would give us strength for today. He promises that He would give us strength for the needs of today. So let's look at that promise, the promise that we have. God's promise is strength, and this strength comes from Him. That's what the blessing with all of these tribes is all about. God divided the Holy Land and assigned each tribe its place. Each position had its perils and its privileges. And that's true in our life as well, right? God has given us certain places to live, and God has given us certain things to do. We all have different jobs. We all have these different things in our life. And what God has assigned you with is unique from what He's assigned me with. We all have this individuality to our lives. And each of our lives has perils and it has privileges. And what God says through Moses here is that no matter where you are and no matter what you have to face, He said, "I am there with you to see you through that." Now you listen to the conclusion. The eternal God is your dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He said, "Blessed or happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency. And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places." So he says, Israel, you are a blessed people. You are saved by the Lord. The shield, you have a defensive weapon, and through that you will triumph. God is in the midst of them. And God is saying that I am going to be with you and help you conquer and help you live in victory. If you go through this chapter, it's just great about how God shows that he's in the midst of him. In verse 3, he tells them that they are in his hands and that they are at his feet. In verse 12 says that they are between his shoulders. And verse 27 says that they are upheld by his eternal arms. And that's where we are today with God as well. God has you in his hands. God has you between his shoulders. God is carrying you close to his heart. God is with you every step of the way, and he is undergirding you with those everlasting loving arms of him. Now we see this illustrated in the promises to Asher in verse 25. In the Hebrew of verse 25 is kind of obscure. And it can mean either your bars or shoes shall be iron and bronze. But either way, that makes sense. Asher is living in oil-rich olive country. He would dip his foot in oil and then exposed to invaders from the north. God was saying, I will be your iron bars of protection. This is what God is saying, that before they get to you, they got to go through me. And that's what God is telling us as we stand on the border of a new year, looking into the new year. I'll be your fortress. And look, before your enemies get to you, they're going to have to go through me. I don't know about you, but that's great encouragement to me, that whatever happens in my life has to pass through the hand of God first. It has to go through God before it can go through me. So God is our defense. He said, I'll be your iron bars of protection. Also, being a rocky mountain region, they walked on hard ground. So God was saying to them through this, no matter how rough the road gets, I will be your iron shoes to see you through. So this is a beautiful thought, that before anything touches us, it has to pass through the hand of God. And if something there that God allows to pass through, God says, then I will be your iron shoes to help you through that difficulty. Either way, God has promised that he would be with us to protect us or to help us through a difficult time. The theme and the basis of all of our efforts then is the adequacy of God to meet all of our needs if we are in our assigned place. The picture of arms underneath comes from the mother eagle who pushes her young out of the nest. You know how the eagles teach their eaglets to fly? It seems kind of cruel. They push them out of the nest. And as they're faltering and as they are falling, that mother eagle flies down and swoops underneath them. And so they land on her and they arrive safely. But this is how God teaches us to fly. God pushes us out of the nest. You ever been pushed out of a comfort zone? And as you're faltering and you're flailing around, God comes and he flies below you and you land safely on his wings and he carries you to safety. But you know what? The more you do that, the more you learn to fly yourself. And I know that there's going to be challenges in the year ahead. And I know that God is going to push you out of the nest. And he's going to ask you to do things for you, and he's going to stretch your life. He wants to stretch your life. He wants to stretch your ministry. And there'll be times when you're just kind of flailing and thinking, God, where are you? Are you going to let me fall? God's not going to let you fall. He'll swoop down under you and give you a safe landing. But the more times God does that, the more you exercise your wings, the stronger you become. And pretty soon you're flying and you're soaring by yourself. This is what God is trying to say to the nation of Israel. And I believe it's what God is saying to us today as well. We may be helpless and feel helpless and flutter and abandoned by the one who is supposed to love us. But he is there watching us, teaching and reaching always to catch us. But we do not live in our own strength. We live in the strength of God. Now, no one saw this more than the obscure German monk Martin Luther. You know how he single-handedly took on the worldwide Roman Church and won in the Protestant Reformation. He wrote the Reformation hymn, and in it said what could easily have become our text this morning. He said, "A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing, our helper he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing." See, if we try to rest in our own strength, we're going to lose. But if we realize our God is a mighty fortress, we win. At the height of the conflict, the Pope wrote Luther and warned him of the dire consequences of his actions. And he said, "When the full might of Rome descends on you, where will you be then?" But quick as lightning, Luther wrote back, and he said, "I shall be then where I am now, safe in the everlasting arms of God." Strength from heaven, this is a promise. But it's also, we find the pace that we need. You know, you need to pace yourself, because life is not a sprint, it's a marathon. And we need to pace ourselves as we run the race of life. God gives strength like he gave manna. He gave it daily as they needed it. Asher was told, "As your days, so shall your strength be." That truth must have impressed Jesus and helped him make it through some rough roads that led to the cross, because he taught his disciples, therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. What does that mean? He says, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough troubles of its own. He taught them to pray, "Give us this day our yearly bread, our daily bread, our daily bread." And when he called them to do the will of God, to take up the will of God, he didn't hide the difficulties, but he said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him take up his cross," or "let him deny himself and take up his cross," how often? "Daily, and follow me." The truth also must have impressed the Apostle Paul, because he said, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." He's saying, forget what lies behind you. Forget yesterday and press forward to today, to what lies ahead. You know, Christian living is not some giant leap into maturity. It is a daily walk. It is a daily grind, a daily getting up in our assigned place, and a daily appropriation of divine power to meet the needs of that day. So that in order to do that, we need to forget the negatives of yesterday. Deuteronomy here, chapter 4, 6, and 8, tell us some things that we are not to forget. We are not to forget what God has done for us in the past. But there are some things that we do need to forget. And there are many things that we should forget. We are not to take up yesterday's crosses and tomorrow's crosses, because if we are carrying yesterday's cross in one hand and tomorrow's cross in the other, we don't have any hands to carry today's cross. And so what we need to do is lay down yesterday's crosses, we need to lay down tomorrow's cross, and we need to pick up the cross daily and follow him. Here's what people who have studied this out say. 60% of our worries are over what might happen tomorrow. We are worried about tomorrow. 30% worry over what happened yesterday. So they carry yesterday's crosses over in today. Only 10% are concerned with what is going on today. Only 10% of the people are carrying today's cross. They're carrying tomorrow's cross. They're carrying yesterday's cross, but they're not carrying the cross today. Maybe you have some crosses that you need to lay down. Some crosses from the last year, God would say, just forget about those. Forget about those things and lay them down. They are a burden that you no longer need to carry. Just lay them down. And maybe God is saying, yeah, I know you have some concerns in this future, in this next year, but don't worry about that. Lay that down. Just be concerned with today, because I'm going to give you the strength that you need to carry today's cross. Have you ever heard of a guy by the name of Satchel Paige? He's a baseball player. He pitched in the major leagues into his 60s. When he was asked how he could do that, he gave his wise philosophy of life. He said, don't eat fried foods. They anger up the blood. Don't walk when you can stand still. Don't stand still when you can sit down. Don't sit down when you can lie down. And don't lie there awake when you can go to sleep. But here's his last advice, and it's the best. He said, above all, don't look back. Something might be gaining on you. Don't look back. You know what? We look back and we carry grudges into the new year. We carry some things that it's like grudges and hurts and times we've been slighted and things that we have received from others. And we carry hate and bitterness, and they fill up our heart. And you know what? Who you really hurt when you're bitter? Yourself, right? And you give that person power over you. So don't look back and carry grudges. This is a great time to let those grudges go. Don't carry them over into the new year. Don't look back and carry the guilt of yesterday, the guilt of your past sins and mistakes. The devil loves to make you feel bad about the things that you have done. Why? Because if you are filled with guilt and depression, you get this poor self-image and you won't do anything good for God today. Can I be honest? There are some people that are so guilt-ridden, they haven't dealt with the guilt, that they can't do anything for God today. They're just living in the past. And what Satan wants to get you to do is either live in the past or worry about tomorrow, because you'll never do anything for God today. I mean, what good does it do to think about things that have already happened? It doesn't do any good at all. So what we need to do is put those things under the blood. As we stand on the border of a new year, put those things under the blood of Jesus Christ. Put those sins there and leave them there. And if the devil brings it up, and he talks about your past, just remind him of his future. And you can rise up and you can be victorious. Forgive the people that have hurt you and go on. Now, one thing I like about athletics is that, you know, a team can have a poor first half, but if they've got a good coach, they can go into halftime, and a lot of sports have half times, or they have these breaks. And a good coach can get a team excited about playing, boost their confidence, and they can go out in the second half and they can play like a totally different team. In fact, I've seen that happen. The team comes out of the locker room and we think, boy, those guys were dead in the first. What did the coach say to them at halftime? And they begin to turn things around. Here's what I want to say to you today. If things happened in your past in the last year, this is halftime today. And you start tomorrow and you start next year with faith and confidence and hope. And that's where the Lord wants you to live. You can turn things around if you don't dwell on what had happened. I remember Brett Favre, after throwing one of his interceptions, he said, you have to be able to forget what you've done. I mean, you can't, if you're a quarterback and you're worried about throwing interceptions all the time, you're never going to be completing any passes. And if we are worried about our failures, we're never going to succeed. We're never going to go forward. And I believe that God gives us milestones along the way that are like halftime. Birthdays are like that. New Year's are like that. As we can look back and say, I'm going to shrug off the things that happened last year, and I'm going to go on from here, and I'm going to start over. God and I can start over. God and I look together. It's a good time of the year to do that. Look together at our mistakes, but also our victories. And when I'm discouraged and I feel beaten and have my head down, God becomes my coach, inspiring me and encouraging me, saying that He believes in me and sends me back out on the field. And I want you to know today that that's true of your God. My God is your God too. And if you feel discouraged, if you feel defeated, and you come here today and your head's hanging down, God is saying to you today that I believe in you. You go back out there, because God's going to send you back out there. He's going to say, I believe in you. You've got this. That first half, that's history. This is the second half. Forget the negatives of yesterday, okay? And then forget the negatives of tomorrow. Jesus tells us not to live in tomorrow land. Don't dwell on the bad things that might happen to you. Do you know what might happen to you? Anything could. And that might be frightening and depressing for some. But you think about this. Test your memory. Remember those things you worried about 10 years ago? How about 5 years ago? A little poem that says, some of our hurts we have cured and some of our hurts we've survived. But the worst of the hurts we've endured are the ones that never arrived. God said you cannot worry about tomorrow. But in reality, we should say what the psalmist said. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Which brings us to the next point. We must face up to the imperatives of today. Deuteronomy 33, verse 25 there. Thy shoes shall be as iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. When you think about it, today is the only day that we have. Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow never gets here. If we fail or succeed, it will be because of what we do today. Some houses are made of brick. And the way they build those houses is they take individual bricks and they lay brick by brick by brick until they have a house. I want you to think of your life like that. Your life is made up of days. Day, day, day. And eventually, you have a life. Begin to look at life one day at a time. God promises to give strength for the day. What kind of strength is it? It's the strength to believe. Now, life, I know, can be hard. And there are faith challenges along the way. You know, Moses, he had a church that hated him. A brother and a sister that turned on him, and a God who gave him a job that Moses honestly felt was too hard for him. And then he couldn't enter the promised land because of his unbelief. But Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 27 said, he persevered, because he saw him who is invisible. Here's the secret of Moses' strength. When he saw the problems, he saw God bigger than any of those problems. And that's the theme of Psalm 90, which is the oldest psalm. It's written by Moses. And he says, Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or before the mountains were born, and you brought forth the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. His faith was in a big God. And he said in verse 12 of that psalm, so teach us to number our days We number our years. Moses said, this is wisdom, number your days. Teach us to number our days so that we might apply our hearts to wisdom. In other words, day by day, looking to God, learning about God, walking with God, and linking my days with the one who is from everlasting to everlasting, the one who created and made and sustains the universe, that God. And so there's no storms that are going to sneak up on us. There's nothing that can happen to us that God cannot handle. When Luther was discouraged by some of Rome's victories, his wife said, Martin, did God run the world before you? I said, well, yes, he did. Will he run it after you are dead? Well, yes, he will. Then she said, why don't you trust him to run it while you're alive? We need this faith. We need this faith also, not only to believe, but to obey. Asher's shoes were no good in the closet, right? You got a pair of shoes, they're not going to do you any good if they're sitting in the closet. I'm a little impatient when I get new shoes. I used to buy these nice tennis shoes, you know, and I didn't want to wear them because they were so nice looking. And then I'd in a weak moment, I'd put them on and I'd go to mow the grass and they'd get all green and everything. My wife would always tease me, now you need a new pair of shoes. But those shoes weren't doing me any good in the closet. I had to put them on. God has iron shoes for you to wear this coming year. And if there are difficulties, God wants to be your strength. He wants you to put him on like you would put on a pair of shoes. But you have to put them on. And you have to trust God. You have to believe God. And you have to obey God. And we are told that we are to put on the full armor of God, right? The breastplate of righteousness, shoes of peace, Ephesians chapter 6. Paul says we're to put on the new self, that's the image of our Creator. And he breaks it down in Colossians, says clothe yourself with compassion and kindness and all of these things. He says the ultimate thing to put on is love because it binds all things together. You see, if we obey God, we can trust God. If we are living in the part of our inheritance, the part that God has given to us, with its perils and its privileges, then we can trust God. We can, when we walk in our way every day, though, spending time as we please, spending our money as we please, entertaining ourselves as we please, and treating people as we please, and these things are not pleasing to God, then we walk alone. And the truth of the matter is, Satan can ruin our lives. But every day is a day for us to start fresh with God. Put on the shoe of faith and say, today, God, I'm going to trust you. No matter what comes, it will not come just to me. It has to go to you first before it reaches me. And God, together we're going to live life. And I trust you that all things are going to work together for good. Because I love you and I am called according to your purpose. Then put on the shoe of obedience and say, today, God, though I failed you yesterday, and though I may fail you tomorrow, I might even fail you today, but I'm going to do this. I'm going to try to obey you. Lord, and I'll do that as you give me strength because your word promises that you will give me strength for every day. And I'm trusting in your strength. And by the way, God's strength is really twofold. It is daily strength. We've got to get this in our head that God gives us strength for today. It is daily strength and it's divine strength. It's not our strength. It's God's strength. And that's what God promises. Those are the iron shoes. Strength for today. But not my strength, but His, but God's. We can walk through this new year, just like the Israelites walked through the land of Canaan, every place that the sole of their foot, their shoe walked on, was conquered ground. Because God went ahead and prepared the way. And God will do that for you today. It's conquered ground, but you've got to believe it. And you've got to obey God's word. Could I have your heads bowed, your eyes closed? Just shut yourself in with God. Faith and obedience. Just put them, wear them like shoes. One foot put on faith, the other foot put on obedience. God's iron shoes. And you will have strength for every day. And when if you die young like Stephen or old like Moses, your days will come together and make up the life of one who trusted and pleased God. I was wondering, as we stand here looking into the new year, if we could just take a few moments to make application of this. As we're looking into the new year, if first of all, you would look back and you'd say, I'm carrying a cross into the new year that I need to let go right now. I'm carrying some kind of grudge. I'm carrying some kind of guilt. I'm carrying something that does not belong in the new year. I'm going to lay it down. I'm going to lay this cross down right now. I'm going to lay it at the cross of Jesus. I'm going to lay it at the feet of Jesus. Would you do that? And as you look into the new year, maybe you're full of worry and anxiety. Would you just say, Lord, help me to put this cross down. Help me not to worry about things that might not happen. And even if they do happen, I know that you're with me. And you've given me iron shoes to wear. Lay down yesterday's cross, lay down tomorrow's cross. But at the same time, be willing to take up today's cross. Say, Lord, I want to be your disciple. And I want to take up my cross every day of the next year to follow you. But Lord, in order for that cross to be carried, I need strength. I can't carry that cross all year, every day by myself. Well, that's the first problem. Don't look at it as it is all year, but look at it as one day at a time. And say, Lord, I don't even know if I can carry that cross one day. God says, I'll tell you what, rest in this fact that I'm not going to allow anything to happen to you that will not pass through my will. I will set bars of protection before you. But even if you have to encounter some trial, I'll put iron shoes on your foot so you can walk through those hard places, and I'll be with you. What you need, what you and I need, is faith and obedience. And if you would be willing to say, Lord, I believe, I trust you. And as you give me daily strength and divine strength, I will obey you. And that puts it on God. Would you just make that commitment to him this morning? Lord, as you give me divine and daily strength, I will trust you and I will obey you. And God won't let you down. He'll be there every step of the way. And there will be new victories. And you'll see walls come tumbling down. And you'll see flood waters part. Because you're walking in faith and victory. Father, you know the decisions that are being made here today. You know what crosses we're laying down. You know what things in this last year we're just going to leave right here. We're not going to carry them forth into the new year. and we're laying down tomorrow's troubles and worries and concerns and cares. And we're going to walk daily with you. Only, Lord, daily give us the bread that strengthens us. Lord, and give us your strength, because our strength is inadequate. I thank you for your promises. You have said you will do these things for us. But Lord, just help us to pace ourselves, to not get behind you and not get ahead of you, but walk with you daily. And for this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In fact, if you would like to, you certainly don't need to, but if you would like to come to the altar and just kind of solidify those commitments to the Lord, saying, Lord, I'm trusting you in this new year. I'm going to walk with you daily. You just want to make that commitment and seal it by a time at the altar. You can come as we sing.
I will bless the Lord forever. And I will trust him at all times. Delivered me from all fear. He has set my feet upon a rock, and I will not be moved, and I'll say,
shelter, a refuge in the time of storms. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord Jesus, you only know the future. We're content just to walk every day with you. We thank you for this day that you have given us to serve you. And Lord, before we leave here this morning, I want to pray for Brittany, who's yet to deliver another child. Lord, that you would be her strength, Lord, in this delivery. Pray for a safe delivery, and Lord, that mom and baby would be well. We thank you for their ministry, Josh and Brittany's ministry among us here at this church. Lord, we're grateful for them and for what they do for us in their way of serving you. And bless them with this birth, I pray. Lord, I pray for others that are going to need your strength, that you would show it to be a very present help. Lord, and it's not just when things are bad, you are a present help for us at all times. Because without you in our life would fall apart. So we thank you, Lord, that you are there always for us, not just in the difficult times, but in the blessed times of life as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're grateful today because this yesterday was the sixth year since Dan had his cardiac arrest, and we praise the Lord for every day, you know, that he's allowed to be with us. So you look back in your life, remember the blessings. I'm not saying forget the blessings. Remember the blessings. But there are some things that we need to forget. Go ahead, forget those. All right? God bless you. You're dismissed.